you please read the title for item number 1098? And is this a vote today?
No, they have some substitutes for this.
They have more substitutes? Yes. Okay, can you please read the title?
1098, adopt new supporting documents for an update to Portland's comprehensive plan.
Good morning, gentlemen. What are we looking at here?
Well, good morning, commissioners. I'm Joe Zender with the Bureau of Planning and Sustainability. I'm joined by Tom Armstrong. Today we have a substitute ordinance with amended reports that are part of the factual basis for the comprehensive plan that we presented a couple of weeks ago. Just to remind you, the factual basis is the state-required background reports that identify key issues and I define the scale of problems and challenges we face. It's not the part of the comprehensive plan where we're making the choices about the policy, but it's the foundation on which we're going to build those policy choices, and those will come forward in the next phase of the comprehensive plan. We are submitting the substitute ordinance and amended reports in response to the testimony you heard at the hearing. The testimony mostly focused on the economic opportunity analysis, which is the part of the factual basis that provides a forecast for the next 25 years of industrial land demand. So we have a number, and then we're going to define policies through the comp plan to try to meet that demand. The testimony you heard, some of the testifiers thought that the EOA, as we call the economic opportunity analysis, was overly optimistic in its assumptions. Some thought it was too pessimistic in those assumptions. And, of course, the analysis that we've done, we believe, is a reasonable and balanced approach to give us a number to work from. Just as an example of where we're falling in that spectrum of pessimism and optimism, if you just look at the estimates in the EOA about the Columbia Harbor area, so from the airport to the Broadway Bridge, all of that, the most of the industrial land in the city, the EOA that we presented estimates a 635 acre shortfall of industrial land to meet the demand over the next 25 years. And it's based on the mid-range of the cargo forecast, so you know the demand for land is a mid-range sort of estimate, and it's making relatively low assumptions about how much of that you can get on existing land. It's trying to be conservative in that regard. We did a sensitivity analysis that said, okay, let's be pessimistic, optimistic, let's put our assumptions on either end of the spectrum. And that sensitivity analysis says that the way we approach the estimate could range from 350 acres of deficit to 1,000. So we're hitting the midpoint in that, and we think that's a reasonable place to land and gives us an EOA that we really can use to try to work the statewide planning goal 9 requirements. We've made a number of changes. I'm going to turn it over to Tom to briefly discuss those for you.
Thanks. Tom Armstrong with the Bureau of Planning and Sustainability. As I outlined in the transmittal memo that goes with this package, I think what the changes that we've made to the EOA reports are clarifications and how we went about and how we constructed the assumptions and didn't affect the analysis or the numbers and the outcome of that analysis. In particular, we removed reference to the Port of Vancouver as an option for helping meet our shortfall for marine terminals. That really is a policy choice that comes in the next phase as part of the comp plan and doesn't really impact our land needs numbers, the shortfall itself. We also added additional detail in response to testimony about how we're defining the different geographies or the unique areas. What distinguishes the Columbia Harbor from, say, the East Columbia Corridor or from dispersed industrial areas like the Brooklyn Yards? And then finally, we did clarify some assumptions about redevelopment of employment land within the industrial areas. Within the industrial sanctuaries, we're in this analysis looking at vacant land. But in our industrial areas like the Columbia Harbor, there is a small percentage, about 10% or so, of mixed employment land, the EGEX land, that has a wider range of uses. And so we've included redevelopment assumptions on some of that underutilized land. And we think that's appropriate because when you look at the jobs forecast for that area, it includes a mix of job types. There are retail jobs out there. There are office jobs out there. And so we think it's reasonable that we include some small amount of redevelopment potential on that mixed employment land in those industrial, larger industrial geographies. But there is no, currently, there is no redevelopment assumptions within the industrial sanctuaries.
And just one last point. In the interim between the hearing and now, we met with the industrial interest testifiers who were present in front of you to talk through their letters and talk through the issues. So we met directly with them to try to hash through the points. And that's thinking is incorporated in the package that we're presenting to you today.
And did you meet with the Audubon Society and others expressing environmental concerns?
We have ongoing meetings with the Audubon folks.
Right. Thank you. So, Mayor, my staff got this packet at 4 o'clock yesterday afternoon, and I suspect that a lot of folks in the community are not yet aware of or had a chance to look through the, as you have up there, voluminous packet of information, and I'm not sure how much is changed. So I'm wondering if I could get a briefing between now and next week to go into the details with the staff, and also hoping that we could hold open the hearing so that if anybody does want to testify next week, that we could take further comments. Thank you.
Absolutely. Okay. Does anyone here wish to?
Oh. I just further comment, you know, obviously this is extremely detailed stuff. I very much appreciate both Joe Zender and Tom Armstrong, who have been very, very diligent in looking into it and who coordinate with the Metro Policy Advisory Committee. Clearly, the city of Portland is the economic driver of the state's economy, and we need to be able to have a coordinated plan both for the city, the region, and the state. So even though it seems like it's a lot of paper and background information, this is very, very important, and I believe it's worth taking the time to get it right.
All right. Unless there's additional council discussion, does anyone wish to testify on this matter?
No one else signed up.
Linda?
May I suggest that if council has a desire to be able to vote on this at all next week after hearing testimony, you would move the substitute today. You may not wish to do that. You may wish to wait until next week. But in order to be able to vote next week on the entire package, you'd have to move it today.
Yeah, I want the substitute for purposes of further consideration and amendment, yeah. And we can extend it if we need to. So I move the substitute.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. Discussion. Carly, can you please call the motion? Sorry, please call the vote on the motion to substitute.
Fritz?
Well, as noted, I'm not exactly sure what's in it, but I respect the staff having done due diligence and we're putting it on the table for community discussion. Very much appreciate the mayor's willingness to take the time to get this right. Aye.
Fish?
Aye.
Adams.
All right. Does anyone wish to testify on this matter? All right. Moves for further consideration next week. Can you please read the title for emergency ordinance, item number 1099?
Amend contract with David M. Corey, PhD, PC, to provide additional funds for psychological examinations for the Portland Police Bureau.
So in response to community concern, the last time that this item came up, I sent it back to be rebid, but explain what we have in front of us today, if you would, sir.
Sure. Good morning. Sean Murray, Police Human Resources Manager, representing the Police Bureau. Item 1099 before the council seeks approval to provide additional funding, $20,000, for police psychological testing. As of July, the Police Bureau increased the number of police officers being hired, resulting in outstanding invoices to be paid. The proposal increases will cover any psychological testing from now until a new contract is in place, which we estimate will be sometime in October. Failure to provide approval for this item would result in the Police Bureau's inability to hire police officers.
So sorry, I don't want to confuse people. This is not consideration of the rebid. This is simply fulfillment of the short-term extension that council approved last time.
That is correct.
All right. Any council discussion on that? Anyone wish to testify on this matter?
We have three people who signed up. Please come on up. Joanne Hardesty.
Can you stay here?
Sure. Dave Hardesty,
and move, yeah.
Teresa Roberts.
This is actually just putting the money for that temporary extension that ends
in October 31st
of next month. So this is a temporary extension, not the new contract.
Correct.
So it is my desire to speak on the new contract.
Okay.
Is that on the agenda today?
No, no, it is not.
It is not.
Then in that case, I want to speak now.
Yeah. I figured.
Thank you. Mayor, I appreciate the clarification. Good morning. For the record, I am Joanne Hardesty, and I'm here representing myself. But as you know, I'm part of the AMA Coalition for Justice and Police Reform, and we are very concerned about the process and the steps that will be taken to renew the contract of Dr. David Corey. You are about to get my written testimony, but if I could, I'd like to say, Mayor, I want to thank you for the stand that you've taken on Officer Freshour, as well as you, Commissioner Leonard. I heard your press event yesterday, and it really makes a difference when our elected officials take a strong stand. So thank you both. I appreciate that. Having said that, I'm going to read for the record my statement on in regard to Dr. David Corey. You will be asked to support the status quo if you recontract with Dr. Corey as the psychologist who determines the fitness of Portland police officers for duty. In light of the scathing report the U.S. Department of Justice provided about the interworkings of Portland Police Bureau, it seems the City Council is poised to repeat past mistakes with the hope of different outcomes. The AMA Coalition for Justice and Police Reform has asked the Mayor and Chief Reese to conduct a broad-based search to replace this psychologist. We wanted to ensure that the pool was broadened to increase the diversity of the talent pool available for psychologists to serve the Portland community. We were willing to assist with outreach efforts and asked the Mayor and the Chief many times for updates on this process. We also identified several associations of people of color professionals who were willing to apply for this opportunity. We were shined on for months, told that this would be an open and inclusive process for a new contract. As the city was finishing up its internal process, one of our members was called to review the applications. There were but two applicants to consider, and the city has once again decided to renew this contract with Dr. Corey. As I understand it, Dr. Corey has not done an effective job in Portland to weed out officer candidates who have a propensity for violence. Since Dr. Corey contracts with at least three other local law enforcement agencies, by reopening the search, you will add to the pool of expertise available. Is my time up?
No. Got 20 seconds.
Okay. Yet due to the lazy nature of the outreach effort by the City of Portland, and by once again cutting the community out of assisting and providing a diverse pool of potential candidates, the city is poised to recontract with Dr. Corey. We are very disappointed, especially since the city was unable to articulate an outreach strategy that would have widened the potential candidate pool. This is yet again an example of our government telling us one thing and doing something that is completely opposite in practice. The AMA opposes this contract. Please widen your search, work with the community to find the change agents we need with the most effective evaluators, trainers, and employee managers. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Hardesty.
Yes, I'm Dave Hardesty. The last time I was here was to testify in favor of a police plan to address racial profiling. Mr. Mayor, following the passage of this ordinance, you asked the police chief to help you with dashboard metrics, saying you get what you measure for. And I thought that was a pretty sensible position for a city manager. Since my last testimony, I was invited by someone in the DOJ to sit in with the AMA steering committee as Tom Perez described his vision of reforms for the Portland Police Bureau. It's a vision beyond the us-them mentality, and he expects civilians to be engaged in reform. Instead of committing the city to another five-year contract or any contract with the same evaluator, it's time for a new set of metrics. you're not getting the best in new recruits. And I think the DOJ has pointed out that you lack best practices when it comes to weeding out cops who are less fit to serve. Instead of terming this an emergency in your agenda and reinforcing the same patterns and practices, instead of rendering the public unable to actually engage in an open process, you might well do pause and begin to appreciate the totality of reforms we're about to engage in. I'd like you to put out a call for candidates who will work to provide us with new patterns, new methodologies that will give us the best chance for the systemic changes we require, to have superior standards by which we later assess performance. Psych evaluation should occur many times at many places, improving cops' ability to serve. I'd like to see you understand this in a systemic sense. Your request for a psych evaluator should include specifications that he or she knows how to improve our early intervention system as it gets reevaluated and reimplemented. Ask for patterns that evaluate candidates based on impending systematic bureau-wide reforms. Even if you hire the same old guy, you're going to get exposed to other people who make proposals for changes, and we're going to get better results. Yesterday, it was reported that Marva spoke for her silent son, Aaron Campbell, and the wider community. To paraphrase, the city doesn't need people like Fresh Hour on the police force who act, and then think later. Show us that you're willing to go to extraordinary lengths to improve the means by which we evaluate new recruits, who will enter a new environment where a new profile of officer will advance in his or her career. Call a halt now to the gang enforcement unit and the heat teams, the elite units that will eventually be identified as pools of lowest performers. Get your hiring and training and employee evaluation processes in place, and then staff special task groups with the personnel that will hit the mission. If the people can sit in judgment, and I remind you, the Fresh Hour grand jury wrote, not that we have found him innocent, then you can allow bright community members into the front end to set the standards by which errant officers will later be judged.
Thank you, Mr. Artisan. Hi, welcome back.
Hi, Teresa Roberts again. I don't understand the fast-tracking of crucial considerations like this. I don't understand how we can, in this economy, with so many people looking for jobs, have only had two qualified applicants. It doesn't make sense. It doesn't engender more trust. We so appreciate you taking a stand on Fresh Hour, and we so appreciate you having asked for a federal investigation.
The community did.
But the mayor also spearheaded that, and I've Wikipedia'd
you. I sent in a letter, Joanne, and the community did too.
Yes, but
this is a 36-day extension, so I can figure out what to do. That's what this is today.
So are you saying that you are going to look for more candidates?
We're
on Fresh Hour. Okay, so back to...
I'm talking about this. This is a 36-day extension, so I can figure out. I want you to hear what the team did by way of outreach, and I have to figure out what to do. This is only... I wanted you to talk today because I wanted the council to hear your concerns. But what's in front of us is only a 36-day extension.
Right. Essentially, the Bureau of Purchases handled the the RFP process for police psychologists. Essentially, within the RFP process, AMA received and actually reviewed the RFP before it went out for bid, and suggestions were taken into consideration. Outreach efforts were conducted, including posting of the actual RFP on the purchases website. There were only two candidates that actually applied for the bid process. Essentially, the group was, the two bidders were actually reviewed by a group that was, that also included a member of the AMA. And essentially, there has been no adverse impact of hiring officers of diverse groups within the last several years of testing. In fact, the Bureau has significantly significantly increase the number of diverse officers coming into the Bureau. As it stands, the proposal today is just only to increase the time for the contract where we can pay for the services being provided.
So what has happened since we did the short-term extension that we actually have the results of the DOJ investigation? And I am taking extra time to sort of consider, given that I know the specificity of their findings, well, I know their findings, and we're working on settlement, and we've had a lot of success at diverse recruitments in the last 2 years. But now we do need, I think, to look anew at the issues raised in the findings. So I'm fine with the short-term extension, and I just need more time to talk to the team about, in light of the DOJ report, what do we do with this piece of it? So I appreciate your testimony today. So this is 36-day extension today. That's all it is. It's not a re-up of years or anything else. It's just a 36-day extension so we can get the recruits that are in the pipeline that have been in various training programs through the pipeline in the next 36 days.
Mayor, I apologize because I have a horrible migraine and I'm really trying to be able to follow what has just been said. Am I hearing that you also, one of the reasons that you're approving this extension is because you also feel like we need more candidates? Is that what I'm hearing?
No, what I'm saying is I want a 36-day extension so I can figure out what I think the best way forward is, and that's why I like hearing your testimony today. Yeah.
Mr. Mayor, if I may, I just want to be clear. The AMA was not intimately involved in this process as much as we have volunteered our time, volunteered our resources. That was not what happened in practice. So I don't want the record to assume in any way that we actually saw the RFP before it went out, because we did not. We only saw it after it was posted, and we only got one member to serve on the committee to review two applications. If we had been involved, there would have been many more than two applicants. So I just want the record to reflect that.
Your response?
We contacted someone who we thought was a member of the AMA and provided them with the RFP information for input. Essentially, that's as much as we could do regarding
the
process.
One of the breakdowns might have been that person didn't distribute it more widely. So I'll look into this, folks, and
thank you.
Get back
thank
to you. Anyone else wish to testify on this matter? Yes, Mr. Andlin.
Good morning, Mayor Adams and Council. I'm Dan Handelman with Portland Cop Watch. And I would echo what Ms. Hardesty said about the AMA not being involved in this process. But I would also correct her and say that I don't believe we knew the RFP went up. We would have contacted people. We had a list of all the psychologists in Oregon broken down by race, and we were planning to contact people, and several people were told that this job opportunity was opening up, but they didn't know about the RFP. So I don't think the AMA coalition as a whole knew about this. And considering the communications gone on between the AMA coalition, of which I'm a steering committee member, as you know, and your office and the chiefs, the fact that we weren't provided an email of that RFP when it was coming up, what it was going to contain, and then when it was actually posted is very disconcerting. And just for a timeline, it was February 29th when Dr. Bethel and I came and testified about the contract that was going to go into effect for 5 years. On August 3rd, I emailed to your assistant, Clay Neal, to ask what was going on. And August 7th, he said, I've forwarded this to the right people who are doing the hiring. And 2 days after that, I got an email from those folks saying, oh, the evaluation committee is looking at the applications that have come in. So it was already done by the time we even asked about what was going on with that six-month extension. I guess I'm misreading the ordinance that is before you today, because I thought that it said in there that this is a 60-day or a 36-day extension before the new contract is awarded to Dr. Corey again. Maybe I didn't read it right, but I thought that that explicitly says that you're planning to give him the contract for the next 5 years as well.
Is that what it says? That's not my legislative intent.
Okay. Well, that's what I read in it, and maybe I'm too tired from reading the DOJ report so many times over. But just in the whole issue is not necessarily about the hiring of people of color to be on the Bureau as much as screening people who are applying for their diversity and their equity vision, where their backgrounds are and how they're going to relate to the people in the community out on the street. And that, coming from the same white psychologist that lives in Lake Oswego for the last 13 years doing these same tests, who doesn't have any staff and doesn't out hire other people who may be people of color, that's what the concern has been from the AMA. The demand, the community demand that this is related to has to do with a diverse pool of psychologists doing these examinations so that you can get at stuff that somebody whose ethnic background may not lead him to ask the right questions to screen out, as you've heard, people who might not treat other people on the street with the respect and dignity that they need. That's what we're looking for. So I just want to make that clear.
Thank you. So I'm going to move this back to my office because I do think Mr. Hanneman's right. It does have, it's not clear to me that it's fulfilling my legislative intent, so I'll move it back to my office and we'll get it cleaned up and come back next week. So unless there's objections, this goes back to my office.
So I'm sure after hearing what you did today, Mayor Adams, your intent is to make sure the AMA is part of this process.
Yep.
That we'll start it again and include their input.
Yeah, I need to talk to the chief, and I think the fortuitous what has happened while we did the short-term extension is that we didn't know exactly when the federal investigation report would come out. Now we do, so I think it is fortuitous that we have an opportunity to look at this issue and to consult with the feds on it specifically. So
I do think what we heard here today is compelling and
I do too.
Should change how we approach future contracts with psychiatrists.
Yeah, I think it is compelling, so I appreciate your testimony. So it moves back to my office for reworking. That gets us to, what does that get us to? 1100. Can you please read the title for non-emergency ordinance?
Assess benefited properties for sidewalk and stormwater improvements in the Southeast Water Avenue and Yamhill Street Local Improvement District.
Mr. Abbey, how are you?
Good morning. Well, Mayor, thank you. We received Andrew Abbey, Local Improvement District Administrator. We received no objection against LID final assessment.
Council discussion. Does anyone wish to testify on this matter?
No one signed up.
Moves to further consideration by City Council next week. Can you please read the title for non-emergency ordinance, item number 1101?
Authorized revenue bonds for the Southeast Water Avenue relocation and the Clinton to the River multi-use path projects.
Hello, welcome.
Good morning, Mr. Mayor, Commissioners. Jonas Beery, City Debt Manager. Council approved a couple actions last month that added two small project components to the Portland-Milwaukee Light Rail project. Those actions also directed the City Treasurer and Portland Bureau of Transportation to prepare financing for those projects. This non-emergency ordinance is the follow-on action that authorizes financing of those project additions. The maximum par amount for the financing would be $600,000, expected to be paid over about 20 years. Bonds will be secured by full faith and credit of the city, but will be paid by revenues of Portland Bureau of Transportation. Expect to sell the bonds via competitive bidding process in December 2012, and would be happy to answer questions.
Questions from council. Does anyone wish to testify on this matter? Move to a second reading for further consideration next week. Can you please read the title for emergency ordinance item number 1102?
Declare surplus properties located at Southwest Beaverton Hillsdale Highway and Southwest Shattuck Road and at 10355 Southwest Barber Boulevard.
Hi, what are we looking at here?
Good morning, Mayor and Commissioners. Aaron Janssens from Portland Fire. I have with me Division Chief Glenn Eisner, and I guess that's all. We're here to declare two properties we purchased with the 1998 bond to upgrade our facilities in 98 as surplus properties that we no longer need.
Council consideration or council discussion?
So I received the information about the buyer. It's not an appraisal. It's a something else.
Broker's opinion.
Broker's opinion. I received that after 5 o'clock yesterday. I haven't yet heard back from the Portland Development Commission, and I didn't get any information from the Portland Bureau of Transportation, which I had asked for last week. So I would appreciate having this set over till next week so I can get that information.
So I need to clarify that this property, as Chief Jansen just testified to, was purchased with proceeds from the 1998 bond that was passed by Portland voters to seismically upgrade and or replace existing fire stations that were seismically appropriate. These properties cannot be used for any purpose other than that which the bond allowed for. So typically in surplus properties, a property can be transferred from one bureau to another for another purpose. These properties can only be used for the purposes for which the bond was passed, or if they are sold, they must be sold for the fair market value, and the proceeds must be used for the purposes for which the 1998 bond passed, which are fire station upgrades.
Right.
So anybody that is interested in these, we are more than happy to sell to, but we would like to get this passed today, which does not prevent PBOT or housing or anybody else who has an interest. And, you know, we can wait a couple of weeks before we actually list them. So if one of the bureaus want to buy them, but they have to buy them at fair market value, it would violate the law for them not to. So all this is doing is holding up this project for us at this point. And I would, and your desire to make sure that you get feedback will not be inhibited by passing this today. I will give you my word, we won't list it until you get that feedback, but I would appreciate getting this passed so we can at least begin assembling what needs to be assembled to put them on the market if and when city bureaus choose not to purchase these properties.
I do understand about the bond measure. There's currently city properties, and in order to declare them surplus, we need to make sure that they are indeed surplus. So I would appreciate having those other entities that I mentioned having the right of first refusal.
And they can have that if we pass this. I assure you that they can have the right of first refusal.
I don't have the information that I need to be able to say that these are surplus.
So what I'd like to do, Mayor Adams, is remove the emergency clause, if I could.
Is that a vote of council, or what is that?
Yeah.
Is that a motion?
I'd like to move to remove the emergency clause.
It's been moved, seconded. I'll second it. Discussion?
Well, you still need 4/5 to be able to declare it surplus.
Which I will have in 2 weeks.
All right. 2 weeks would work very well for me.
Okay. There's a motion
at that point, I might be willing to do it as an emergency, but I don't have the information.
I can't count on that at this point. So we have
there's a motion to remove the emergency clause. It's been seconded. Carla, can you please call the vote on the motion?
Leonard?
Aye.
Fritz?
Aye.
Fish?
Aye.
Adams?
Aye.
So I will be gone, Mayor Adams, out of town next week. If we could have the second reading on this 2 weeks from today, I would appreciate it.
Unless there's objection, the second reading of this will be 2 weeks from today on regular agenda. That'll be
October 10th.
October 10th. All right, so done. Can you please read the title and call the vote for second reading of 1103?
Amend code to reflect current program operations for the charitable campaign. Leonard?
Aye.
Fritz?
Aye.
Fish?
Aye.
Adams?
Aye.
So approved. We're in recess till 2 p.m. Do you have a minute?
Later. Thanks.